Good morning. A lot of you that are older can remember the posters that they had back when they were starting World War II, the ones that had Uncle Sam pointing out and saying the United States wants you to be a part of the Army. And that was part of their recruiting pitch for trying to get people to enlist to serve in the Army. And as a lot of you know, that I am a big sports fan, especially when it comes to the Iowa Hawkeyes. What is the first step in having a good team? It's the players. Just as the members of the church, this is essential in having a strong congregation. What is it about God's plan that is enticing to people? His recruiting pitch is and always will be the Bible and the rewards that you can get by doing His will. But most people can't take the dedication it takes to follow His plan. It sounds too tough. They're not willing to buy into that plan because it's too hard. Satan's pitch isn't faith-based like God's is. It's tangible. You can reach out and you can taste it, you can drink it, you can touch it, and you can see it. It's right there. And there are a lot of people trying to recruit people to that side. Just do this. It's so much easier. When some schools recruit a player, they can say, look at our history. Look at all these national championships that we have, our conference titles, all the All-Americans. You can be one of those too. Just join us. There's something that they can just see right in front of them that, hey, I can do this. I can be a part of this great tradition. Other coaches don't have that to show people. They have to recruit to an ideal. You can help us change things and make things better here. Here's my plan to do it. Do you believe that we can do this? Do you have faith in something that hasn't been shown before? Do you have faith that this person can get you this? God's plan is one that we have to have faith in and we have to trust in. We can't just see heaven right now. We haven't actually seen the fruits of it to the finish, and we won't until we're gone. It's not something that we can see yet. We have to trust in God. There are a lot of times that the outside world can seem so much more sympathetic to our problems, and more than a lot of times than we think that the church is going to be sympathetic to our problems. This is a problem. We aren't as close as we need to be to each other. Inviting, I've mentioned it before in previous talks, my experience at a Church of Christ that we went to on vacation, how their policy is always to take visitors out to lunch or to offer that to their visitors. Then they can answer any questions that those visitors might have about the church and about what they heard in a lesson or heard in a class that day. This was a positive experience for me and my wife, it really showed a caring atmosphere that this congregation has showed in this. I think this would be have a positive impact, even if we had to put up a schedule. Who was in charge of doing this for certain months? Satan is inviting to people, and Christians need to be. You know, Satan has somebody ready to pounce. Oh, you got that sounds like a real big problem. Let's go out and have a beer and talk about it. There are commercials all the time on TV showing people enjoy the pleasures of earth. They're trying to get people to join in and enjoy with them what they're doing. They make it look as enticing and appealing as they can possibly try to make it sound. Is there anybody enticing them to join Christ while they're watching TV? You can be this happy too. Just lighten up and drink some alcohol and you can be this at ease and happy too. Does Christ stand as the premier example that you're trying to set in your life? A role model as part of selling a recruiting pitch to people. You don't have to think that you're a role model, but you are to people that are younger than you. I'm not good at being an outgoing person, real friend maker. The way I feel is I feel awkward. Sometimes I stutter. And I'm uncomfortable in social settings. I didn't want to be a speaker when I was younger. I was nervous the first time I came up. My hands were shaking. I didn't know if I could even get a word out. Now it's my best way to communicate how I feel about Christ. If you turn to Exodus, the 4th chapter, verses 10 through 15, it talks about Moses. Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made your mouth, or maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? If not I, the Lord? Therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what to say, what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart, and he shall speak unto him, and thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and shall teach you what you shall do. God didn't want Moses' excuses about speaking, and I'm relatively sure that he doesn't want ours either. In Luke, the 8th chapter and the 14th verse, it says, And they which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. We can have God, but we can let all the other things of this world choke us out, and we're no good. And we know what happens to us if we're no good to Christ. We get cast away. If we turn to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, we can see the difference in the result of the two choices, God or Satan. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But also hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, in Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and I will live godly in Christ Jesus, shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and which thou hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which were able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction, righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We have that choice. And in Titus, the third chapter, verses 3 through 7, it talks about the promise. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified in His grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And also in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verses 24 and 25. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. What's your choice? You have two choices, two sides to choose from. Are you going to serve God, or you're going to serve your flesh? Are you going to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, then enjoy the fires of hell for eternity? How are we as recruiters of God's word if we can't convince our own? When I saw as a child, there was no way I was going to leave this church. My brother saw it too. I remember seeing how the sick people could cheer you up when you visited them. I remember as a kid getting cards in the mail, sometimes with a quarter in it, from church members. My kids don't get to see that. Things have changed from when I grew up, and we sometimes seem to be busy or hurt by others' lack of attention to us. Do we use that to hold on to it, ignoring those who need to see this is a family, not just a bunch of people that we see on Sunday, maybe Wednesday nights? in that letting the, in doing that, letting the Bible recruit itself, and none of the family stuff in the church exists anymore? What do we do to make this something that people don't want to miss out on? Do our young people feel as uncomfortable, as comfortable with us as they should? If they don't feel comfortable with us, how does that make us feel that they can rely on us when they need to acknowledge a fault? I didn't even know if I could, but she proved me wrong. I have a passion for this group, and that's why I had so much pain and anger in my heart. When I needed help, I didn't think that I would have any support. When I broke down, a lot of my breaking down, it came from this place. I've seen how convincing it can be to be a Christian. The stress of not seeing people want to make it a part of their lives, growing up with it all their lives and deciding that they don't want to be a part of it anymore. I worry about their souls. And I hope that somewhere along the way I didn't infect them negatively in something that I did. Because it's so important that your souls are safe. I got to the point I felt alone and that my church didn't care about depression. And when I came forward and apologized for my actions that I took on myself, I received a lot of concerns and a lot of cards. And that's how it's supposed to work. It's hard to come up here and admit that you got problems, but we're told to do it. In James 5:16, it says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." That's how it's supposed to work. When I came forward and the care that I was shown reassured me and energized me and made me feel a whole lot better than I did. I didn't know that I was going to get that. And if you don't think that you're going to get that same treatment when if you've got a problem, then you're wrong. Just like I was wrong. There is a reason for this. Sometimes we need to know and be reminded that the church is here for us. That's why we're told in James that we're supposed to confess our faults so our brothers know that there's a problem and that we need help. We're supposed to be there for one another, and we're supposed to be able to find comfort in Christ. But we're not the only ones that have lacked for somebody to lean on. And we're given examples in the Bible of that. Job was struck with so many different sides at once, and then having boils where he couldn't even sit down without irritating it. Job's friends and his wife all gave him bad advice, and they were not good for him. Fortunately, he had God to set him straight, that he could actually talk with God. But the main people in his life deserted him. In Luke 4:8, when Christ was all alone being tempted by Satan, he told him to get away. "Get away from me, Satan. God is the only one that you should serve." And in Job 2:10, Job told his wife, "She speaks as one of the foolish women speaketh." We can turn to 2 Corinthians, the second chapter. starting with verse 7. So that contrariwise you ought to rather forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up over much sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things, to whom which ye forgive anything, I also forgive you. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it for your sakes, forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should be get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We are supposed to confirm our love toward each other. How often do we do that? Furthermore, when I came to Troas to speak Christ's gospel, and as a door was open unto me and of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus, my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence to Macedonia. Now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we were a savor of death unto death, and the other a savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God we speak in Christ. We all have a choice to serve God or serve our flesh. Free will is an issue that I have had a lot of trouble understanding. And of anything in God's plan, it frustrates me the most. Hell is an awful place of torture, and the punishment is permanent. How can we accept that some are resigned to letting their soul go there? Isaiah, the 55th chapter, verses 6 through 9. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. He will accept anybody back. Once you turn from God, turn back to him before it's too late. God is bigger than all of us, and he understands things that we don't understand. Why do you think you see players cry when they win the big game? Because they know the blood and the sweat and the tears that it took for them to get to that point. They know how hard they had to work. And you're going to have to work hard to get to heaven. It's going to take blood, sweat, and tears to get to heaven. You're going to be tempted. How are you going to react? When you commit to God, it will be rewarding beyond imagination. There's a song that I really love the words to. It's sang by Brad Paisley and Dolly Parton. It's called When I Get Where I'm Going. And there will be only happy tears. I will shed the sins and struggles I have carried all these years. And I'll leave my heart wide open, and I will love and have no fear. When I get where I'm going, don't cry for me down here. Don't you want to be one of the people that we don't have to cry for? Don't you want to be in that position where you're in heaven now and nobody has to cry for you because you're, except for the fact that they're going to miss you, but you're in heaven and you're so much happier now? Don't you want to be in that spot rather than crying for the other reason that so many are going to choose? If you don't have that hope or you need to be helped to make that commitment, take the steps to be comforted. Don't be in hell when it's too late and you're crying for the other reason. Take the steps to come forward and share your love for Christ and dedication that you want to serve Christ. And if you've got problems, let us comfort you and get you through it. Let us think about those things as we stand and sing the invitation song.